There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Let's talk to Mr. Nessler. Mr. Nessler!
Oh!
Brad Nessler joining us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Brad, how'd the weekend go? I know you were a busy man. You had to kind of recharge the batteries yesterday, huh?
Yeah, I tried, but, you know, Miss Nancy's got too many things for me to do around here. And I said, can't we spread this out a little bit, you know? No, it was a busy weekend, guys, but good to talk to you. And had a good time out in Salt Lake. All I saw was the inside of the Delta Center and the inside of the hotel and the inside of the lobby lounge. That was it. But I didn't get to see much of Salt Lake.
Can I ask, I don't know how often you've been there, or if you've ever been there. Have you heard about Salt Lake City pushing for a Major League Baseball team and a whole bunch of else? They really want the world to know that we are a bigger city than you people think.
You know, I don't know if it was how many locals came to the basketball games, but when we went to the practices on Wednesday, I said, this is going to be a terrible turnout. There was nobody at the shoot-arounds. And sometimes, you know, like if you have Kansas in there and Tulsa or something, you know, there might be 20,000 people at the shoot-arounds. I came into the practice sessions. I'm like, oh, this doesn't look good. But, man, we had like 18,000 both days. So they dug their basketball. And if they're that way about baseball, it'd be a good city.
Brad Nessler with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. For you, what was the highlight of the games you called?
Probably the first half of Gonzaga and Kansas. You know, we had some kind of comebacks and some of the lower seeds and that type of thing, which was fun. Dayton got down 17 to Nevada and came back and won that game. And then they got down 17 to Arizona, and they cut it to 7 at halftime, and they cut it a little bit closer in the second half. And you could feel, you know, when the top seeds and the smaller schools, the people start back in the smaller schools, and you can just feel the energy. But Gonzaga and Kansas first half, I think it was 44-43 or something like that on Saturday. And I thought, man, if this second half is anything like the first half, it's going to be awesome. And Gonzaga came out and just blew their doors off in the second half. So the air went out of the balloon in that second half, but the first half was really good hoops.
And I know what Bill Self had to say after that game. Did you get any sense of that during your conversations, if you had any with him leading up into that game?
A little bit in that, you know, not having McCullough and you know, there's so much speculation about how hurt he was, bone bruise to the knee and all that. And, you know, I think some of the Kansas people started on the Twitter thing about, oh, he's just giving up on his team. He's just getting ready for the NBA and all that kind of stuff. And I saw those two talking right outside our hospitality room at the hotel the night before the game. And I like heard him say, coach, I really tried. And so Bill came out and, you know, tried to pad it up a little bit and say, hey, he did everything he could to get back. He just couldn't. But earlier in the year, you know, Bill told me that the NIL stuff is driving him crazy. And he said, you know, to me, he said, I got the greatest contract in the world. And he does. But he said, I might never fulfill it because this stuff is nuts. He's got a kid that's barely playing, and he's making like $150,000 to $300,000 a year on trading cards and NIL. And it's driving these, especially the, you know, the coaches that have been there, done it, and are in their 60s or even higher than that. You know, they don't need this crap, really. Shopping around for players and then having players come in and say, you know, what do you got for me and everything? And, you know, we all know what Nick said at Alabama, and same kind of reason. But it's driving a lot of the coaches out. I think we're going to see more and more guys that are financially secure just say, the hell with it. I don't need this stuff anymore.
What do you think about the blowback or whatever the hell it is around Kentucky and John Calipari these days?
Ooh, that was going on, Chris. That was going on when I was up there in early February. And, you know, went out to eat, and people are coming up to me complaining and everything. I'm like, hey, you know, it's not my money. It's not your money. But they were squabbling about it then. And, you know, then they put the nice run together and that quieted everything for, I don't know, a month. And I can't imagine what it's like now. I said to Brendan Haywood after they lost, I said, man, I'm glad I'm not anywhere near Lexington right now, because I can just hear it and feel it. And, you know, $33 million buck buyout. I don't know what they're going to do, but I guess John's meeting with Mitch today, or maybe he already did. Today. I don't know. But
yeah, today. Yeah. So did you see the headline in the Lexington Herald?
No.
They spelled Calipari with a K. I'm not even kidding. So now that just added to the, I swear to God, the headline has his last name spelled with a K in Lexington. Wow.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, he and I are pretty good friends, and I try not to get involved in all that stuff, but, it's, you know, they need more than one championship with what they're paying them, I guess.
Yeah. And the other part about this, look, I joked the other day. It's a big buyout. I don't know if you know. I don't know if I'm talking out of turn. I'd imagine, you know, we'll give you $28 million in cash and $5 million in horses. I don't know how any of this stuff would work, who has the money or not. But what if there was ever a moment where Louisville, what if Louisville said, we'll pay $10 million of the buyout. Let them come to us. Again, I'm just living in a world where all we care about is storyline sometimes in these seats.
Right.
That would be the best storyline ever.
Yeah, you could follow the Patino pattern, right?
Yeah.
That'd be Louisville would love to have him, I bet. But I don't know. It's never enough for the fans up there, and I love their fans, but it's a little bit crazy.
So how emotional was it signing off for that last time on CBS for you guys?
Football?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really tough. You know, first of all, Vern and I spent quite a bit of time together, which was precious. Doing the intro and the beginning, the tease.
That was beautiful, by the way. Beautiful job by everybody across the board. Great to see Vern back doing that.
Oh yeah, we had so much fun, you know. And then we went out to eat together that night, and his Nancy, my Nancy, and some of our bosses and stuff. So that was really cool. But it started hitting me then, if it hasn't already hit me during the course of the season, you know. And then at the end, you know, they go, well, you and Gary got to say something. And we kind of thought the end of the game. So we didn't have anything prepared. And so you just come back and you kind of roll with it. And Gary goes, well, I think I got something I can say. And I said, I guess I got something I can say, you know. And then the frickin' New York Post or whoever. But, yeah, that was tough. It was really tough. And then I didn't realize March 9th or whatever, I'm doing my last SEC basketball game. And I didn't know that until I went out with the crew the night before the game for dinner. And some of the young guys go, hey, Ness, man, this is your last SEC basketball game, too. And I never really correlated, to be honest with you. I never really thought, okay, I knew the football gig was up. But I didn't know if we were still doing SEC basketball or not. You know, I don't pay that much attention. So I get to the end of that game. I look at Jay Wright and I go, hey, man, I just want to thank all the people in the SEC for being so nice to me over the last 30 years of doing SEC basketball, because this is my last game. And I was like, damn, I can't get through all this stuff, you know, without getting a little emotional but choked up. But, hey.
So what do you think? How young was the person who actually said that to you, where you're getting that piece of information?
Probably, you know, they're like BAs, maybe 28 or something like that.
Yeah. So I got fired. I had a caller tell me that the radio station was ending. That's a true story on a Friday morning, because it was in the newspaper before anybody told me. What runs through your head? Are you going, is this true? Is this real? Like, do you even want to ask anybody anything at that point?
Yeah, I guess I did. I asked our producer. I said, you know, at the same dinner, I go, is that true? And he goes, yeah, but don't say anything on the air. And I go, why not? And he goes, yeah, you know, we still have the CBS Sports Classic, and that involves Kentucky. And I said, that's not an SEC game. That's a little mini Christmas tournament. And he goes, yeah, I'd be better off at the bosses. And, you know, they're all scared of their own shadow, you know. So I just blurt out what I feel like blurting out. And then 2 minutes later, 20 seconds later, the producer comes in my ear and says, oh, man, New York loved that. And I said, great. And he said, I told him it was my idea.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
So hold on. So can I ask?
I took credit for it, by the way.
Are you at the point that somebody, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are you at the point now career-wise where what you talked about with Bill Self, what certainly Nick Saban has done, what Jay Wright probably did, another guy that I would call if I'm Kentucky or anybody else, there's not a basketball job in America I wouldn't call Jay Wright to ask if he wanted it. But are you at the point now in your own life and career where you go, yeah, I'll just say what I want at this point?
Yeah, kind of. Because, you know, I just signed a new mini deal. And if they don't want me around when the mini deal's over, I don't care. I figure I'll say whatever I want. And then I don't rent a car. I have a car service, but I'm going to rent a car and I'm going to go over those spikes and I'm going to back up and flatten all four tires, you know, and I may even swear on the air or something like that. Yeah. Talking about Jay Wright. So we do Ohio State right after they get rid of Chris Holtmann. So every Ohio State fan comes up and says, you think Jay Wright would come to Columbus? I said, no, he wants to do what he's doing. And then we go to Kentucky. You know, a couple of people bought me a Diet Coke, and I'm standing at the bar, and they go, oh, man, we got to get Jay Wright. And I said, I think Jay likes what he's doing, you know. So every city we went to where there was a question mark about the coach, Jay Wright's name came up, and I said to him, I said, dude, I want to be your agent.
No doubt.
I ain't coming back.
Good. Keep saying that. Keep driving the price up. Good.
Do you believe that? Like, I don't know him. Is he going to get bored? Is the NBA in his future? If you're just speculating, I know it. But
yeah,
coach, man.
I think he totally digs what he's doing. And the cool thing about Jay is he treats everybody unbelievably well. It doesn't matter if you're a BA or a camera guy or the producer or me or whatever. He treats everybody just – it's unbelievable, you know, because he could be a jerk, and he's nothing like that. And nicest guy in the world. You know, he's got a place in Philly, and he got out of there. You know, I said, why didn't you wait, like, to get canned so you could get your buyout and all that kind of stuff? He said, because I want to be able to go to Villanova games and have people go, hey, coach, you know, and that they still like me. I didn't want to be one of those guys that, oh, you traitor, you went someplace else. And when he got into TV, he got in it. And I mean, he works it and he studies it and he wants to know everything about it. And, you know, he soaks up everything that I told him this year. You know, they sort of threw him to the fire. And that's probably why we did so many games together, is because, you know, put the guy that's been around forever with the new guy and see if he can teach him something. Because, you know, he didn't know what, like, first game we did. Our producer goes, lay out, you know, and he keeps talking right up to the end of the commercial's almost starting, you know, and he goes, Ness, what the hell's layout mean? I go, man, nobody really taught you anything, did they? So, I mean, over the course of the last two seasons, he's asked me a million questions, and he wants to be really good, and he already is, but he's going to be better, and there's going to come a time, this is my opinion, I don't know this, there's going to come a time when, you know, Raft is 90, and there's got to be somebody going to that slot, and I think it'll be Jay.
Can I don't want to get him in a position he might not want to. He sort of strikes me as a guy that could actually be the spokesperson. We keep talking about a commissioner or a czar for college football, and Saban's name comes up. Jay Wright looks to me like a guy who could handle that position. He could walk into a boardroom. If he has to put the suit on, he can. If he has to put the t-shirt on and talk to you that way, he can. He's one of those rare guys that I look at and go, I kind of think he can do anything he wanted to do.
No doubt. You know, and he has a presence, like when he walks in a room, people notice, and I'm not just talking about women, because he's such a handsome man. I always tell him that all the time.
He's, you know, regal, he's is what he is, Brad. Regal.
He's regal, and now with the great clips, he's always high and tight on
right.
the sides.
I bet you smells good, too. I bet you smells good, too.
Yeah. Son of a gun, you know, I hate sitting next to him. I tell my wife, I said, I can't stand sitting next to the guy. She says, why? Is there a problem? I said, yeah, he's really good looking. That sucks. No, he'd be a good guy for that job, though. You're right.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, when you're watching some of these, I mentioned the other day that Creighton is now on its third Sweet 16 in the last 4 years. People don't even know where Creighton is. People, Gonzaga's out of the mix because they've been doing it too long. But as a guy who lives in the state of Georgia, knowing what the basketball talent is at the high school level, and this state didn't have one team in the NCAA tournament, 68 shots, we didn't have one. When you look at some of these other places, and I don't care if it's St. Peter's, I don't care if it's Florida Atlantic, I don't care if it's Monmouth, I don't care who the hell it is, do you sometimes think about what the hell is playing out in front of you where this state does not have a team in the tournament?
Absolutely. You know, but... I just sort of roll my eyes sometimes and go, how did these guys do this? How did, you know, how did Samford get in the tourney? I mean, I know they just stuff like that. And, you know, I know Mike's team's doing pretty good in the NIT right now, but to not have any of our schools, you know, whether it be Georgia State, Kennesaw, Georgia, you know, Georgia Tech, it's kind of a shame because I'll tell you what bugs me is when I go and I do other games and I go, yeah, and he's from Marietta, Georgia, or he's from, you know, whatever, Milton High School, in the case of Bruce Thornton, you know, and I'm like, geez, how did he ever get out of the state? Yep. And why Ohio State, you know? Just crazy.
Brad Nessler with us now. Let's talk about another guy that you brought up earlier, and it seems like he was the guy that everybody hated. We've always had a great conversation with him whenever he's come on, and I'm talking about Gary Danielson. Why was all this vitriol out there for Gary?
I don't know. I just talked to him like 20 minutes ago. And, you know, we're going to a new conference, so they can start complaining in the Midwest. I never got it. I mean, I think he's the best. I've worked with everybody I've worked with has been unbelievable. And, you know, he and Todd, the last, what have we covered, the last 15 years between those two guys and me. And I think they're the two best out there. And, you know, it all just sort of started with, you know, somebody in their grandma's basement saying, this guy's, not, you know, this guy drives me crazy or whatever. But it's amazing that we can do a game and you come out of it and half the Twitterverse is saying that he was for Alabama. And then the other half is saying that he favored LSU. I mean, somebody's wrong.
Yeah, but you know what I think it stems from earlier than that? He ain't from here. I think there was a lot of he ain't from here to start this whole thing off.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, now if we go back to the Big Ten, is he going to be a hero because he played for the Lions and went to Purdue? Maybe. Who knows?
So
maybe
have you ever thought about that you were, and I mean this, I look at the business of sports a lot. You guys on the contract that CBS had, for the money that was paid, it might have been the best bang for the buck TV media contract of all time.
All time. Absolutely. I didn't know that at the time. Because, you know, when I switched from ESPN to CBS, I don't pay attention. Mm-hmm. I started probably paying attention then because, you know, then it became, are we going to renew and that type of thing. And, you know, like Gary knows all that stuff. And there's, I mean, we have guys that drive our trucks probably that know more about the business side of it than I do. So I started paying a little bit of attention then. But then the astronomical fees that really don't make any sense to me. I don't know how you make any money, although, you know, when you get $16 million for 30 seconds on the Super Bowl or whatever that we just did, you know, that's pretty good cheese. So I get that part, but I don't know if it's ever going to stop anywhere. But, you know, what CBS thought they made what was a reasonable offer to keep the SEC, but I think that was predetermined. I think Commissioner Sankey just wanted a new thing, and he wanted his own network, basically, in ABC and ESPN, and that's what he's got.
So, all right. Last thing, do you think we keep talking about the Power Two conferences? We know the money now with the 14 teams and how it's going to be split up. There are haves, and there are haves with small letters, and then there are a little bit of everybody else. Nick and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago because it hit me. I think the NFL is going to end up with an NFL-type system. I think there's going to be 36 or 40 teams, and I think Everybody else will play for their own championship. Can you now envision a day where it's actually run like an NFL, smaller group? This is, we'll call it Division I if we have to, but it'd be an NFL model compared to 132 schools in Division I football.
Yeah, I think so for sure. I don't know when, and I don't think I'll be around to call those games, but I think it's going to happen. I think we're leaning that way right now. And when you start demanding that two conferences get, you know, 60% of the cheese from the playoff, and they're going to expand again. They might expand again before they even get going. I don't know. And, you know, then they'll want 75%, the Big Ten and the SEC. It's a lot of greed out there, man. I don't know. That's all I can think of. But, yeah, I think it's going to be, if nothing else, down to 60 teams or something. It's the haves or the have-nots are going to just be going to bowl games and stuff like that.
Well, Brad, listen, we always appreciate you checking in with us. And there's got to be something liberating right now, right? I mean, when you call games, you feel like you're going to say whatever you want to say. So it's got to be a lot of fun for you.
It is. I'm having a blast. I mean, I'll keep doing it until you guys tell me I don't sound good anymore.
can I just tell you?
That's never stopped us, Brad.
You are allowed to just keep going. You've done this a number of times. You're allowed to say that somebody bought you a drink. You know, I know that there's like this code from the old days, and when we started, oh, you know, somebody's going to buy me a Diet Coke. It's perfectly acceptable now. Like, literally, to talk about you had a guy buying you four shots of tequila. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares.
No. Well, I don't drink tequila, but occasionally I will have a scotch on the rock, so that's probably what I was purchasing at the time.
Here and there. Brad Nessler, again, always a pleasure. We'll talk soon.
All right, fellas.
Thanks,
Brad. Good being with you.
Brad Nessler with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.